The Yontif of Pesach is synonymous with many, many different minhagim, from kitnius to gebraks to stilling the afikomen, and many, many more. But the concept of minhagim and how minhagim exactly work, what is a minhag, what's not a minhag, the power, the authenticity of minhagim, when a minhag is established, when a minhag can be abolished, is very, very confusing to many. Certainly many don't even understand or can really translate properly what a minhag is, what's the halachic status of a minhag. Why were minhagim established? Why are there varying different communities? Some communities have a particular minhag, other communities don't have a minhag. Why minhag Ashkenaz is like so, and why minhag Sfarad is not like this? Why within minhag Ashkenaz, some from Germany have this minhag, some from Lithuania have this minhag, some from Vilna have this minhag, and others from Hungary have a different minhagim? Why are minhagim so splintered and so different? This, of course, is what led me to write my sefer, my book, The Making of a Minhag, to address many of the aspects, the halachic significance of minhagim and how minhagim work. This particular shiur, I'd like to take a look at multiple minhagei Pesach and try to bring out and answer and explain and elucidate the power of minhagim, when minhagim do have teeth to them, when minhagim don't have teeth to them, and specifically why particular areas do have minhagim and others don't have minhagim. And this really should in turn answer a more basic question, what is the status of a minhag and why were minhagim established? But before answering that question, let's ask another fundamental question which will help us address all of the questions that we will be analyzing today. And that is, what's the difference between a halacha and a minhag? We throw around the word halacha and minhag and almost interchangeably, but what is the difference between a halacha and a minhag? And the truth is that there's a fundamental and categorical difference between halacha and minhag, and that is that halacha is absolute, it's law, it's ironclad, it's universal. There's no question when halacha is instituted, when the Gemara paskins, when the Rishonim elucidate something, when there's a machlokas Rishonim, and the Beis Yosef and the Tur, and the Shulchan Aruch, and the Nosei Kelim establish a halacha, that's the halacha lock, stock, and barrel for Klal Yisrael. Of course, the Mechabers was followed classically by Sfaradim, the Ramos was followed classically by Ashkenazim, and certainly there are differences in how a halacha is applied. That's true when it comes to Hilchas Pesach. We know you have to have Marah. Marah is a mitzvah de Rabbanan. But what is Marah? Depends. Certain communities understood that this was Marah. Other communities understood that that was Marah. Of course, there's a mitzvah of achilas matzah. You have to eat a kezayis of matzah. But the Rishonim debated. Does that mean one kezayis or two kezayisim? And when it comes to halacha, yes, it's ironclad, it's universal, it's absolute. You have to do something this way and you can't do something another way. But certainly there will be differences how to apply a halacha. But at the end of the day, what it says in Shulchan Aruch, Simen and Sif, what it says in Aruch Chaim, what it says in Yeridah, what it says in Evan Ezra, what it says in Choshen Mishpat is the final rule. Yes, the Magen Avraham and the Shach and the Taz and the Nosei Kelim, the Gra and the Chassam Sofer and the Nadi Huda Rabbi Akiva Eger can elucidate, can explain, can argue in halacha kibasra. But halacha is absolute, it's universal, it's lock, stock, and barrel complete. Minhagim are very different in specifically that aspect. Minhagim, when they were established, were not established on a universal basis. Minhagim were established based upon the Bezdin, the Rabbanim of the ear, to establish certain protocol to safeguard particular areas of halacha or to bring out particular areas of increased interest in Klal Yisrael. And thus we find that certain communities had minhagim while other communities did not have a minhag, because certain cities and its rabbinic establishment understood that there needs to be a particular minhag in this area to safeguard, to uphold, to establish, to concretize, to protect a din d'oraisa or an iser d'oraisa. Other communities and its rabbinic leadership and its bati din didn't understand or didn't think that their communities needed that particularly. If you take a look in the fourth parak of Maseches Pesachim, Makom Shenagu, which is the parak that elucidates, explains, and goes through Hilchos Minhagim from the top to the bottom, you see very clearly in all the Mishnais in that parak exactly this point. Makam Shenagu Lasos, Makam Shenagu Shelo Lasos. Certain areas, certain constituencies, certain towns, certain areas had one mig, and other areas did not have that minhag. And the basis is, as we'll see in the Rishonim, is that particular communities through its rabbinic leadership understood that this is something that we have to be nizar about, that we have to bring out because it will help accentuate and it will help make an exclamation point on a certain halacha and to protect a certain din. Other communities didn't have that. Let's begin by taking a look at a minhag, and that's a minig of Erev Pesach, the minig not to do melacha, the Isra melacha on Pesach. And if we take a look at that minig, you will see very clearly from the Mishnayos that that is exactly the point, that it's a difference of what was understood to be the reason and the basis for establishing this particular minig. But let's take a look at the first Mishnah in the fourth parak, Makom Shenagu, which reads as follows. Makom Shenagu Lasos Melacha Barve Psachem Archatzos Osim, a place that has the custom to do work, to do melacha, Erev Pesach up until Chatzos, that is what they should do. They should do melacha, they should gain in activity. There's no Isser. The minig is to do work in that particular town, Yud Dalet Nisan, up until Chatzos, until midday. If a certain community has such a practice, such a minig, they should do it. However, the Mishnah continues, Makom Shenagu Shelo Lasos, if there's a particular area, a space, a town, a constituency, a locale that does not have that practice, but rather has the minig not to do malacha the first 6 hours of the day, from Netzachama till Chatzos, Ein Osim, the people of that community, of that town, of that locale, of that constituency, the minig is for them not to do work. Well, why would that be? Why would there be different minhagim? Why would one particular town have a minhag not to do work on Erev Pesach up until Chatzos? And why would another town not have that particular minhag? Let's take a look at a critical Rashi. Rashi Psachim, Dav Nun Amar Aleph, explains as follows. What's the basis? What's the reason for the minhag Shelo Lasos Malacha, not to do Malacha up until Chatzos on Erev Pesach, Yudal ben Yisam, says Rashi, and I quote, Kedei shelo yetor b'malacha, v'yishkach b'yur chemtzo, u'shchitas ha-Pesach, v'tikun matzah l'tzorech ha-layla. We were concerned, or that town was concerned, that if people were engaged in work and activity, they will get all focused on their work, and then there would not be the time and the energy, the effort, and the wherewithal to pay attention to the amount of activities that have to take place throughout the day of Pesach. They'll forget to do bir chametz. They'll forget to do shchitas ha-Pesach. They'll forget to bake their matzahs and to set up their matzahs l'tzorech ha-layla. The mitzvah l'tzorech mibin yom, kedei lahasiv moher. That, says the Rashi, is the reason, is the basis for the minig not to do malach ner Pesach. We want people to be prepared, to be careful, to be cautious, meticulous, and scrupulous, to be prepared for Leil HaSeder, Leil Tesvav Benisam, to be prepared b'zman shebeis hamikdash hayakayim, shibon beis hamikdash for shchitas Pesach, ad chatzos. But if people are so busy and so working from morning till afternoon, they're going to forget all of what their responsibilities are, what they have to do, and therefore, the minig developed in certain areas not to do malacha on Erev Pesach. However, clearly, other towns, other areas, other batei din, other cities, other rabbanim did not understand that that was necessary, because they felt that their people, their townspeople, the community members would be nizer, they would be careful, they would remember to set up their matzah, they would remember to bake matzah, they'll remember to be shochet as a Pesach, and they'll be careful, cautious, meticulous, and scrupulous without establishing the minig not to work on Erev Pesach. Thus, we see very clearly from the outset, the first Mishnah in Perek Makom Shenagu establishes for us and explains for us what the basis of minhagim are. A halacha is something that's absolute. It's universal. It's something that everybody has to keep, whatever city, country, town, continent you live in. That's something that's a must. Either it's a mitzvah saseh, it's a mitzvah lo saseh. It's a halacha mifureshes in Shulchan Aruch, or it's a halacha that nosei kelim in Shulchan Aruch express. But it's something that everybody has to do, albeit there are different ways to apply that halacha. But minhagim were established dependent upon a place where you live, dependent upon, do we need to safeguard? Do we need to protect? Do we need to establish? Is it something that's necessary or not? And therefore, it's for that reason that we see certain minhagim were established in particular areas, in particular locales, as opposed to other communities, other cities, where minhag was not established. If you take a look in Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Pesach, Simen Tuf, Samaches, you'll see how the Shulchan Aruch codifies a minhag. And says the Shulchan Aruch as follows, Kodem Chatzos, before midday, Makom Shenagu La'asos Malach Osin, Makom Shenagu Shelo La'asos Ein Osin. The Mishnah, Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Karo, essentially carbon copies the Mishnah. Places where the minhag is not to do work should not do work up until Chatzos, and places that have the custom to do work up until Chatzos may indeed engage in work. Shulchan Aruch doesn't say anything different than the Mishnah. The Rishonim explain the Pshat in the Mishnah and the distinction, the differentiation and division between different cities. And based upon that, that's why the Minig was established. And so says the Shulchan Aruch, it depends where you live, which town, which country, which continent, which constituency you are a part of. And it's based upon that whether or not you should engage in Malacha Erev Pesach or not. The Ramah, in his gloss to Shulchan Aruch, Simen Tuf Samaches Siv Gimel, commenting on the Mechaber, says, Ulididon, meaning for us, B'nai Ashkenaz, Makom Shenagu Shlo Lasos. Our custom is not to do Melacha on Erev Pesach. However, the Mishmur very quickly, in Sivkatan Yurbeis, quotes the Levush in Shari Achronim, Shein Zemuskam, it's not absolutely clear. Says the Levush and other Achron quoted by the Mishnah, where there are many places in Ashkenaz where the custom did develop that you can do work up until Chatzos. And then the Mishnah concludes, it depends upon the minig where you live. That's the pshat in a minig. The minig is something that's established based upon what's done in your particular area, because that's what earlier Rabbanim on Shekneses Hagdola, Chazal, Tanoim, Anamoraim established. That's what a minhag is, and that's how minhagim work. The Prichadash here, Sim Tav Samuches, Sif Katan Gimel says, and it's quoted in the Luach Eretz Yisrael, that in Yerushalayim, the minhag is not to do malacha up until Chatzos, as well as after Chatzos, essentially, there's an Isser Malacha the entire day. However, B'Shalom Zalman Orbach in Halicha Shlomo, Hilchos Pesach Perek Ches, in the Dvar Halacha Osches, writes, he's not sure, he's not convinced, Shalosh Amanush Nagukain. I didn't hear, says B'Shalom Zalman Orbach, that that was the Minug in Yerushalayim. And maybe when the Pre-Chadosh said what he said it only within the perimeter, the square Dalet Amos of the old city of Yerushalayim, but maybe that doesn't apply B'Zman Hazeh, and therefore we see, this is how Minhagim work, Minhagim work based upon what's done in particular areas, based upon precedent set by Bati Din and Rabbanim of earlier Doros. That is the clear explanation of Minhagim, how Minhagim work, certainly based upon the Mishnah, the Mishnayis, and Perak Makam Shnogu, Rashi, as we quoted here as well. Thus, that is Minhag number one, and that is the way to explain the first Minhag of Erev Pesach and whether or not there is an Isser Malacha or not. But let's take a look and continue to look at other minhagim of Pesach, and we can see very, very similar as well. And of course, one of the fears of many, and one of the challenges that many have, is cleaning on Erev Pesach and the weeks leading up to Pesach. How much does one have to clean? Is one required to clean so much as our grandmothers did? What does it say in Shulchan Aruch? Is there a rule? Is there a law? Is there a minhag? Is there not a minhag? Do I have to wash the windows? Do I have to scrape the walls? What's done? What's appropriate? What's inappropriate? What's too much? What's not enough? Take a look in the Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Pesach, Simen Tuf Mem Bei Sivav. Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber quotes the Tur, quoting the Ra'avon, who says as follows: Nagu Ligarer Hakisalim VeHakisos Shenaga Behem Chametz. There's a minug to scrape the walls and the chairs that Chametz has touched. Minug Nagu. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Then the Shulchan Aruch has a very curious language. V'yesh lehem al mashi yismechu, meaning, those who have this custom to scrape the chairs and the walls that chametz has touched have what to rely upon. It's a very uncommon language of the Shulchan Aruch, that quoting a minug, and then v'yesh lehem al mashi yismechu, there's what to rely on. What do you mean there's what to rely on? Either it's a minhag or it's not a minhag. Either it's a halacha or it's not a halacha. What does the Shulchan Aruch mean when he says, V'yesh l'mamash yismuchu? This is exactly the point that we've been making, and certainly this is what the Mishnah Berurah says here. In Simen Tav Mem Bei Sivkaton Chavches, Ratzal Lomer, what does it mean when the Shulchan Aruch says, V'yesh l'mamash yismuchu? De'ein lilog al minhag. You shouldn't mock, you shouldn't poke fun at the minhag of scraping walls and chairs. Lomer shu minhag shtus v'chumri yisrael. To say that it's a silly, unfound, unbased minhag, and that it's simply a chumrah, a stringency for no reason. Aliyesh lezesmach min Yerushalmi. This minhag has a makor neman, has a holy source in the Talmud Yerushalmi that says, hatach beso batzek, somebody who plasters their home with dough, chayav levayer, is required to do biur chametz in that particular area. Thus, the pshat in the Shulchan Aruch, and the reason why Rabbi Yosef Kahar writes, V'yesh l'mashi yismechu, is because minhagim nin mekoros, it needs a basis, it needs a shas, it needs a bavli Yerushalmi, it needs a medrash, it needs a chazal. Just like we saw in Erev Pesach, Rashi explains the reason for the minhag not to do work on Erev Pesach from early daybreak until Chatzos, is because there's a concern, a reason, that maybe people won't be careful and cautious, meticulous and scrupulous to bring the Karban Pesach bizman, to prepare the matzah, to prepare the marah, to take care of the dalet kosos, to set up the day properly. Here too, it can't just be that you're scraping the floors, the chairs, the walls for no reason. There needs to be a basis for it, otherwise it's not a minhag. You can't just dream up a minhag because you feel like it. We don't make chumras out of thin air. But the minhag is based upon the Yerushalmi that they used to make their walls and use a dough in order to tach beso batit. That's how they ordinarily plastered. Therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, and that's what the Yerushalmi means, that the Ravon quotes, the Beis Yosef quotes, the Shulchan Aruch quotes, is the basis of this particular minhag. It has a makor. However, not everybody subscribed to this minhag, because if you take a look in the Shaar HaTzion, quoted here in the Mishnah Berurah on this psak of the Shulchan Aruch and what the Mishnah Berurah says, the Shaar HaTzion writes, Ein Raya Gemura. This is not an explicit proof from the Yerushalmi. The Hasam of the Yerushalmi says, Kishetach Beso Batit, that's when they all of the tit that they were using was Kizayas B'makom Echad. They plastered with a Kizayas worth of dough. But not if somebody has a little bit of a schmutz on the wall, on a chair, on the floor. They don't have to scrape it necessarily. So the Shaar HaTzion says, not so fast. Don't think that you have to quickly start scraping walls in preparation for Pesach and scraping chairs. It's true there's a basis, there's a makor for the minhag. It has Yerushalmi. And as the Shaar HaTzion concludes, there are those who are cautious, careful, that they don't even have a mashu, a shimtza, the shimtza, chimtza the chimtza, the most minuscule amount of chametz. Therefore, those who have the minhag that they want to scrape and be careful in a place where maybe there's even a kazayas or less than a kazayas of chametz, so you could scrape and you could remove chametz from these different areas in and about and around the home. However, those who don't have that concern, who are not as worried, who don't have this strong position that this minhag has to be kept because it's not necessarily the basic psak halacha that everybody has to keep. It's not halacha, it's not universal, it's not absolute, it's not law, it's a minhag. Certain places had this minhag. Certain places didn't have the minhag. The place that had the minhag had a makor from the Ravon, from the Beis Yosef, based upon Yerushalmi, hatach beso betit. Others who didn't have this custom, they didn't learn the Yerushalmi like that. They understood that the Yerushalmi meant there was kizayis b'makom echad. You have one big piece of challah. You have one piece of dough that's plastered. You got to clean it, but we don't have that concern. And therefore, again, you see the discrepancy, the difference, the basis of division and of different minhagim in different cities and different places certainly is based upon this. Is there a reason to be concerned? Is there not a reason to be concerned? Is there a source? Is there not a source? And we continue to see how minhagim develop and why minhagim develop and what the difference between a minhag and a halacha is. Regarding this particular minhag, it's important to note that sometimes we could be more machmir about a minhag than a halacha. And that's inappropriate, because if somebody wants to be so careful and cautious and starts scraping and being very, very overly cautious about chametz, when there may not even be a requirement mikra din to check for chametz, because when you're washing windows and curtains and you're in your attic where there never was chametz, you're going to be exhausted by the time Pesach comes, Leil HaSeder. Maybe you won't eat your matzah properly. You won't be able to have two kezesim. The mara won't be exciting. Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, you'll be falling asleep. But the mitzvah Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim is a mitzvah d'oraisa. The mitzvah Achilas Matz is a mitzvah d'oraisa. The halal and its recitation is a halacha. It's a din. It's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Dal kosos d'rabbanan. But if you're not doing it with passion, with enthusiasm, with excitement, because you were cleaning and scraping areas that didn't require mikra adin, then one is off base. One is not following properly the division that's according to halacha, as opposed to minhagim. We have to make sure to fulfill a mitzvah d'oraisa properly, achilas matzah, sipri tzias mitzrayim, a mitzvah d'rabbanan, dalet kosos, halal maror. But if you're fulfilling a minhag when it's not necessarily required, it's not your minhag, it's not the community's minhag, and it may not even be required according to the letter of the law because you're not in a place that has chametz, then one is inappropriately focusing on things. So therefore, it's always important to take a look and to know what a minhag is, what a halacha is, when a minhag should be followed, when a minhag should not be followed, of course, based upon family minhagim, citywide minhagim, and discussing with your rav and the city's minhagim to make sure they're being kept properly. Another important minhag of Pesach, and certainly where this speaks to the point that we're driving at, is the minhag of gebraks. Now, of course, who hasn't asked a friend, a neighbor, a colleague, or acquaintance the ubiquitous question, do you eat gebrux? Now, what is gebrux? Gebrux, of course, refers to the custom not to eat any matzah that's either mixed or dipped in water because of a concern that during the baking process, maybe a minuscule, minute amount of flour didn't get kneaded properly into the dough. And when this piece of matzah will later encounter water, this unkneaded flour will become chametz. Now, if you take a look in Shas, Rishonim, early Achronim, you don't see this concern terribly. It's not really something that's discussed. If you look in Shulchan Aruch and Tur Beis Yosef, you're not going to see something clear about the concern or the minug that we call not to eat gebrux. So where did this custom come from? And how could we all of a sudden and strongly require or develop a minug that one should not eat gebrux, matzah meal, that one should be careful because maybe, there's a little bit of dough that didn't get baked. Maybe you're going to dip your matzah into the soup and maybe that little bit of dough is then going to rise and become chametz. Is that a concern? Should it be a concern? Concerns seem to have developed somewhere in the late 1700s. Talmidim, the Baal Shem Tov, most notably the Maggid of Mezrich, the outstanding Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, Bisachar Dov of Mezrich, was the one who seemingly was the first to pen and to talk and to popularize the custom. However, the custom really, really gained widespread acceptance when one of the Maggid's closest students, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, otherwise known as the Baal HaTanya, who authored the famed work, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Graz, and he, a third generation student of the Baal Shem Tov, penned the halachic response, a tshuva printed in the back of the newer printings of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav in Simen Vav, explaining the reason for not eating gebrux. And he writes in that tshuva very clearly that this is the reason why the minhag developed. He writes that in the last 20 years, when he was leaving the Graz, the method for baking matzah changed. And most notably, he explains the speed of the manufacturing process of matzah has really, really risen to a new level, and therefore there's a stronger possibility of dough being left unbaked. Therefore, the Graz, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Baal HaTanya, Rav Shneur Zalman Liadi, writes emphatically that, of course, while according to the letter of the law, it's not prohibited, however, at the same time, it's not a custom that should be mocked. And those who are stringent will see bracha. And he says that this is the right thing to do, especially when it comes to Pesach. There's chumrah to Pesach, chumrah to chumrah, and we should be careful and cautious. And thus we see why, again, minhagim developed, just like the minhag, not to eat Erev Pesach, not to work Erev Pesach the first 6 hours of the day. The minhag that developed to clean and to scrape chairs and walls and everywhere. Certainly here the same thing is true as well, as the Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes, that the reason for the institution, the initiation of the minhag of gebrux is for that very reason, that maybe we need to be careful, we have to safeguard, and we have to protect. In Isra D'Raisa Bal Yorah Bal Yimatzeh, we shouldn't eat any chametz chas v'chalila, and thus the minhag developed not to eat gebrux. And Pesach, again, this minhag gained very strong popularity in Chassidish circles. However, the same cannot be said in communities of Ashkenaz. For example, Lithuanian, Hungary, German Jews, Polish Jews are absolutely opposed to the minhag. And most famously, the Shari Tshuva, in his running commentary on Shulchan Aruch, writes, "Achzuke isura lo machzikinan." There's no reason to establish a presumption of prohibition. Why should we be machmir? There's no reason to be machmir. It's not something we see in Shas, not in the Rishonim, not in Tur Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, not in the Gedolei Achram. So why should we all of a sudden try to establish a minig lechuma? Achzuke isura lo machzikinan. Interestingly enough, the Shari Tshuva writes something that seems to be then a basic machlokas in mitzi between him and the Graz. The Shari Tshuva felt just the opposite, as opposed to the Graz, who writes, in the last 20 years, the matzah baking process has become more complicated and so quick and so fast that it's possible that something will be left unbaked, and therefore the concern of gebrux. He writes that in the olden days, the Shari Tshuva, matzahs were baked much thicker, and therefore there was good reason to be concerned about flour not being kneaded properly into the dough, and that could become chametz. However, today he writes, Bizmanenu, matzahs are baked very thin. There's no concern that there's any unkneaded flour left behind. And therefore the Shari Tshuva writes that rabbinic authorities should oversee the matzah baking process. They should ensure that matzahs are baked thin and will eradicate this concern completely. But certainly he is a strong opponent of gebrux. Halachs, and he quotes the Chacham Tzvi, Rabbi Ashkenazi, the father of Yaakov Emden, Rabbi Tzvi Ashkenazi, who also was an opponent and was an antagonist of the new minog, not to eat kabraks. And of course, this was the position of the Vilna Gaon, famously, as well as the Chassam Sofer, who also showed that this is not something that we should do. We shouldn't be concerned about eating kabraks, and we should absolutely, positively do so. But there's a powerful lashon of the Sha'arei Tshuva. The Sha'arei Tshuva, the end of his commentary on Shulchan Aruch Siman Tav Samech, when he summarizes his position about Gebrachs, writes as follows: Umimadi Kasivna, based upon what I have written, Mevur Debein Hamachmir Debein Makilim, whether you're quote unquote Machmir Nati to eat Gebrachs or whether you're Makil to eat Gebrachs, Elu VeElu Osim Kavanim Lashmaim, all Klal Yisrael, their intent either with the minig to eat Gebrachs or not to eat Gebrachs is all Lashem Shemaim. Elu Daitem Lifrosh Meshimtza Deshimtza Chimtzu Bar. Those who don't eat kabrachs are very careful, cautious, meticulous, and scrupulous. They don't want to eat any chametz whatsoever, and therefore they're not going to eat anything at all that there's a possibility that there was some amount of matzah meal maybe that didn't get baked properly and will turn to chametz. Be very careful and cautious. We don't want to be over any isur misur diraisa of achilas chametz b'pesach. However, elu, those who are not quote-unquote machmer, those who do eat and are not careful necessarily about gubrachs, mishum mnia simchas yomtev, shlo arev lahem lechem matzah chareva, those who are careful dafka to eat gubrachs, they want a good food, they want delicacies, they want to have a larger menu to eat. And we are being mevatel simchas yomtev if you tell people that all they could eat is not gubrachs, potatoes and chicken and meat, and they're not going to be able to enjoy other aspects of the yomtev because you could use matzah meal and use other things because of this concern. Thus we see again that Minhagim developed with these two points in mind. Certain communities had a particular concern. Other communities did not have the same concern, but both had Kavana L'Shamayim, both had the right intention, both were trying to eat and do what was correct and what was appropriate. And no way do we ever see that anybody's doing something that's wrong. Elu mechavim lishmaim, ve'elu mechavim lishmaim. And the reason and the basis for the establishment of Minhagim was dependent upon each particular town, its Bezdin, its Rabbanim. The same can be said true for a fourth minhag, well known, stealing the afikom in Leil HaSeder. What's the basis? Is it good? Is it not good? Is there a makor? Is there not a makor? Is it something to do? Is it not something to do? The minhag, as far as we understand, as we know, is that the child steals the afikomen. The middle matzah, which is broken at yachatz, the smaller piece stays behind on the table to be yotzei the mitzvah of achilas matzah, and the larger piece is hidden, and it's that piece that's going to be used for tzafon to fulfill the mitzvah of afikomen. After Shulchan Aruch, Barech, Halel, and Nirtza will eat the afikomen at tzafon, and the kid will hide it, the parents will look for it, and when the child says to the father, hey, I'm not going to give it back to you unless you give me a treat, a present, something. So the father says, okay, he gives in. The child returns the afikomen, and the child receives a present in return. Is there a minug? Is there a makor? Is it good? Is it not good? Rabbi Yair Bachrach in the Makor Chaim, Hilchos Pesach, Simen Tafayin Zayin, summarizes it with one sentence very succinctly. And it again speaks to our point about Minhagim. Minug, the custom, Shatinokos Gonvin Afikomen, the custom that kids steal the Afikomen, Lechavev HaMitzvah. It's exciting. They want to eat the Afikomen with a bren, with a gishmak, with enthusiasm. It's exciting. However, Rabbi Yair Bachrach continues, Mikol Mako, Yesh Panim Limchos Levata Leminug. There's another way to look at it. It's a terrible minug. We should be mocha. We should abolish this custom. Two possibilities. Just like the Isser Malach and Erev Pesach, just like cleating for Pesach, just like eating gebrachs, it could go either way. On the one hand, the minig is lechaviv amitzah. On the other hand, the minig is limchos. What's the basis of either side? The Orchas Chaim of Spinka and Siman Taf Ayin Gimel Sifkatan Yotes writes, if you look in the Sefer Ma'ore Or, he says that the Masha Tinokos Gonvinan Fikomen, Mitachas HaKisei, that which the children steal the afikomen from under the chair of the table. Hu badui vehevel. It's terrible. It's a mockery. It's disgusting. Ubagoyim nishma. The non-Jews are going to hear shayhudim lomdi ledem lignov. The non-Jews are going to hear that. You know what happens? Leil haseder. The parents teach their children to steal. Zeichel yitzias mitzrayim, because that's what occurred many years ago on the same night. Vayinatzlu, that the Jewish people stole. They took out all of the important possessions of the mitzrayim. And therefore, the Chas Chaim concludes, Al Kein Hamonea Mishubach, somebody who does not fulfill this custom, somebody who abolishes this custom, is praiseworthy as Mishubach. But it's not just in the Sefer Chas Chaim. But two of the contemporary Gedol Yisrael of the last door, Shlomo Zalman Orenbach, quoted in Halacha Shlomo, Pesach Amud Reish Samach, as well as Reb Shimon Schwab, in the beginning of his Haggadah, both note that this is a terrible thing. There should not be the stealing of the Afikomen. And they both explain that since it's referred to as Gnevas Afikomen, stealing nafikomen, ech nargil atinokas lagneva. How are we accustoming our children to stealing? Ulakabel scharal kach kanog, and then they're going to get a prize, a treat, a present. The hanog in Cain, even those who do have the custom, says Reb Shlomo Zalman, at least call it chatifa, that you're grabbing, but stealing, it's inappropriate, it's wrong. Thus Reb Shlomo Zalman, Reb Shimon Schwab, and the Or Chas Chaim, as well as other gedolis, are very opposed to the stealing of the afikomen. But then what is the basis on the other hand, l'chaviv mitzvah? The Sefer Noach Kitzon Yosef in Leil Pesach writes, ein levata l'minok, don't abolish this custom, it's a good custom. Why? Ki mitokach han'ar min'ar mishenasim, kids will wake up, kedesh Yishalu atinokos, it will allow a give and take, a back and forth, a shakla v'tarya. The kids are engaged, they're part of the night, it's their evening. It's a good thing. It'll keep the kids on their toes. It'll keep them awake. It'll keep them up tap. And therefore, it's the chibuv mitzvah. And so writes the Chok Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Reishon, Hilchos Pesach, Simin Tafayin Beis of Katan Beis, that the makor for the minig is based upon the Rambam, based upon the Gemara Maseches Pesachim, Chotfin Matzah Zumizu. And the Rashbam, Rashi explained, Chotfin Matzah means that you would move the matzah around on the table in order that the children should ask. And therefore, once it happened, then Shas and the Rishonim explained that there was a basis for moving around the matzahs on the table. Says the Chok Yaakov, based upon this, the minhag developed of stealing the afikomen. And here the children will begin to ask and wonder and question and will see the Leil HaSeder with passion and excitement. So again, just like the Isra Malachan Erev Pesach, just like the minhag of cleaning, nikayon of Pesach, just like the minhag of eating or not eating a brach, the minhag of stealing or not stealing the afikomen is very similar. Some did, some didn't. Those who did understood that it was important to do because it'll help suffice and concretize that the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim will be accomplished properly. The father will be able to transmit the Leil Yetzias Mitzrayim, Leil Tesvav, the Nisim, the miracles, the Emunah, and the Bitachon of Klal Yisrael on that evening. Therefore, you need to find props and ways and tricks and minhagim to be able to inspire the child, allow the children to be part and parcel of Leil HaSeder. They should be awake, encouraged, and excited. But those on the other hand said, you don't need to do that. You could find other ways. You don't have to come out to stealing. You could find other ways to do that. There should be other props, other tricks, other cute ways to do that. Through the Aseres HaMakos, through putting the mats on your shoulder, whatever other minhagim are. And that's the reason why some were strong proponents of stealing Nafikomen, including the Noach Kitzon Yosef, as well as the Chok Yaakov, as opposed to others who opposed and showed that it is an inappropriate thing to do, including Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Or Chas Chaim of Spinka, Rav Schwab, and others as well. Let's conclude with the final minug, the fifth and final minug of Pesach. Of course, there are many more, but at least to bring out the concept, let's talk about Kitnias just for a moment. And of course, Kitnias we could talk about from this Pesach till next Pesach, Bezus Hashem, Lashana Bob Yerushalayim. But the minug of Kitnias again is not a halacha. It's a minug. And what's the basis of the minug not to eat Kitnias? Kitnias, of course, are legumes and the like. And the Rishon already starting with a smack through the manig, the early Chachmei Ashkenaz, the Rishonim, understood that there was a concern that either kitnios were legumes and things of the like that you could bake bread from and ultimately become confused and will wind up eating chametz on Pesach. Or maybe kitnios grow in close proximity to chametz next to wheat and therefore we wind up eating chametz on Pesach. So Chachmei Ashkenaz came out very strong and it took time for the minhag to really take root, but already in the times of the Maharil, it's very clear that Chachmei Ashkenaz, a good Gadoli Rishonim all accepted and placed this minug not to eat kitnias and klalis. So of course it's codified by the Raman Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Pesach. And therefore it's for that reason that the minug of achilas kitnios was established. However, many Chachmei Ashkenaz questioned whether or not it's still applicable. And famously, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in his Sefer Mura Kitzia, says that if only all of the Chachmei Ashkenaz today were willing to abolish it, I would be with them. He says, "Kishiaskimu Chachmei Ashkenaz al kachal afkia chevo chumrezu." I wish, he says, "Omerni betach hamevatul min exel shamnias achilas kitnias yeichel kimi." I want to be with those who are going to be mevatul to abolish this minig. There's no basis. There's no reason. Yeichel kiimo. I want to be part of that community, that batei din who do that. Halavai yiskimu imadi gdoli hadur b'mechol halaz. I wish that I could be part of a group of gedolim who would be willing to abolish it. I would be mitzvah ledvar mitzvah, I would be part of this great mitzvah. Kol yoma, he writes, hayisi omedu mitzape masa yavu liyadi v'afarsim. When will the day come that I will be able to do it? But Rabbi Yaakov Emden, of course, concludes that he's unable to be mevatel the minug, because it's a minug of Chachmei Ashkenaz. All of Klal Yisrael accepted it. As opposed to the minug of Achil of Isser Malach and Erev Pesach, some communities accepted, some communities different. As opposed to the minug of Achilas Gebrak, some communities accepted it, some didn't. Gneva Safikom, some did, some didn't. When it comes to kidneys, all of Ashkenaz accepted it. And it's for that reason, the Chassam Sofer Netshuva, or Chaim Simon Kufchav Beis, as well as the Chai Adam, in his Nishmas Adam, end of Simon Kuf Lamed Aleph Os Chaf, also both write, Davrish Nespashet Havikitakana Satzibur, something like this, which has been so widely accepted across Ashkenaz, it's like the Chumrah of Bnos Yisrael, Vafili Yischaret Kol Olam Lamahani Hatar, you can't be Mati, you can't change it, it's an impossibility. And that writes the Chassam Sofer, even if there was a Tam Lahatir, it would need Kibbutz Kol Orov Chachme Anj. It would need all of Klal Yisrael, all the Batei Din, all of the Rabbanim of Ashkenaz to be mevatelit, because it's a minig that's been accepted widely by all of Ashkenaz. Now, of course, this is about Ashkenaz. But when it comes to Svarad, that's not the custom. Svaradim eat rice on Pesach. They didn't have this concern. Thus, we see the distinction, the differentiation, the point of contention between Rishonei Ashkenaz and Rishonei Svarad, that the Rishonim of Ashkenaz had a concern. They wanted to safeguard, protect, and to establish, to make sure that there wouldn't be any Isra of Achilas Chametz on Pesach, and therefore lock, stock, and barrel has decided unanimously that kitnias are out on Pesach. Chachmei Svarad, the Rambam, Vidime didn't have that concern. That concern wasn't apropos. And therefore, for that reason, the Rif, the Rambam, and other Chachmei Svarad did not make any minug less or kitnias. And we see, just like the Gneva Safikom, and just like Gebruchs, just like cleaning for Pesach, and Melach and Erev Pesach, Kitnias as well, all five of the Minhagim that we have briefly sketched and shown all depend upon what is established in a particular area. Makom Shenagu versus Makom Shelo Nagu. Thus we can now clearly explain and understand, based upon these five Minhagim Pesach, what Minhagim are. Minhagim are there based upon acceptance of a Bezdin, an establishment of a Bezdin, of Rishonim, Tanoim, Amoraim, in certain areas understood that there needs to be something done to uproot either something that was happening, or to establish and to guarantee and to make sure and to manufacture that there wouldn't be a overwhelming transgression of Isurin, or to help secure that something would happen. That's why certain communities had a minig as opposed to other cities didn't have a minig. Halach, on the other hand, is very different, as we said. Absolute. It's law. It's universal. It's uncontested. It's for all of Klal Yisrael. Rishonim, Achronim, Sfardim, Ashkenazim. Yes, there'll be different applications. How do we shown him and how the Shulchan Aruch works, and that requires a different shir for a different time. But at least we understand Minhagei Pesach, Chumrat de Pesach, why certain communities do certain things, other communities don't do certain things. Why in Hungary they did it one way, while in Lithuania they did it a different way, while in Svarad they did it a different way. Hasidim do it one way, and Hungarian Jews do it a different way. This is what Minhagim are, and this is why Minhagim are so unique and so important for Klal Yisrael. The Rishonim write that Minhag, rejumbled, reads Gehenna. Meaning that if minug that's established properly is something that's kodesh kadoshim, minug mevatel halacha, minug Yisrael Torah, who minugim are very important, there's a foundation, a solid basis for them. But on the other hand, the minug that has no basis, that doesn't have a makor, it's gehenim. You can't just make up minhagim. Minhagim have halachas too. They have a basis for them. But they need to be understood properly, established properly, with rabbinic institution, with rabbinic establishment, working with the city. And certainly in due time, we will be able to explain and understand many minhagi Israel based upon the definition of the Mishnayis and Perak Makam Shenagu, based upon the way the Rishonim understand it as well. Of course, in my sefer, the making of a minug, I go and discuss and develop and elucidate the length and breadth. I hope I have tried, with the Kadosh Baruch Hu's help, Siyata Deshmaya, to explain how minhagim work, the basis for them, the institution, when they can be abolished, when they can't be abolished, when there can be hataras nadar min a minug, when there can't be hataras nadar minug, what the basis of a real minug is, what's not a minug, can new minhagim be established now or not. But nonetheless, Pesach is certainly a time to think about minhagim, talk about minhagim. Interestingly enough, in the Sefer Chai Adam, his discussion of minhagim is found dafka in Hilchos Pesach, because Pesach is where minhagim are such a critical role and play such a critical role, and certainly expresses who we are, where we come from, why we do what we do, and be zocha to continue to follow halacha to the T, and maybe continue to follow and to establish the minhagim that have been passed on to us from generation to generation. Wishing everybody a wonderful yontif, chakasher v'sameach, shibane beis hamikdash b'mher v'yameinu l'shana ba b'Yerushalayim habnuya.